It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you this Saturday and every Saturday. In the studio with me, my co-host, my partner, the only guy I know that goes trick-or-treating and says trick-or-trout, Mark Tobin.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. And the neighbors all go, that's that Tobin kid. Let's just humor him. He'll go away a little bit. You know, trick-or-trout. That should be embarrassing, Tobin. What's the matter with you?
I like that.
Trick-or-trout?
Yeah.
I think he'd rather eat trout than anything.
No.
No?
But I like trout.
Do you?
Yeah.
Once a year?
That's about right. No, I enjoy trout. Yeah, I like cooking them whole. Well, I like them both ways. I'll flay them and I'll just cut the head off and gut them and fry them whole too. Tell you, the best part of a trout are the fins, the tail fin and the dorsal fins.
You're the only guy I know that eats them.
Oh, it's like a little potato chip. They fry up so crispy. It's so good. I love it. It is the best part.
I will eat a trout if he's still wiggling. And when you throw him in the grease, you know, but if he's froze and you bring him back out,
they're not
I'm
quite,
not there with you.
They lose a little bit, yeah.
Oh,
for sure.
They get gamey.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I flay them, I just like any other fish, I like to get the dark meat out of them. There's a little bit of dark meat between the meat and the skin, just like with white bass or hybrids. Uh-huh. Or really just, I mean, my mom will even take the brown meat out of a crappie. Now, I don't go that far. Uh-huh. But it does make a difference. It does make a big difference. Catfish, same way. You get that yellow and the dark meat out of them, and it makes such a difference on how good they taste.
You know, you slithered in the door here with, 10 seconds left to go?
I was close.
I was getting ready to call a buddy of mine to see if he could come on here and co-host with me, and you didn't. I thought, well, he'd surely call.
So. Oh, I would have. Absolutely.
What I mean, you have any problems in life already this morning?
No, I mean, I got up 3:30 like I normally do. I just had to go by. I've been trying the last month to get you some business cards.
Uh-huh.
And just for whatever reason, the printer's down, and we couldn't get mine aligned, and...
Is this Gary's fault?
Well, it's my fault I didn't leave the house earlier. I thought I leave an hour and 15 minutes before to get here, but it just took me a little longer to get over there. He left them in his mailbox for
nice
me,
having.
So I pulled
He's
over there.
And, yeah. Hey, on the way down here this morning, you know, generally I'm always amazed at how many people are up and going and all that
stuff.
I
know it, yeah.
And this morning on I-29, I think I was the only truck for miles.
Well, it wasn't that way on 435. There
was it?
Quite a few people out there.
I don't know what's going on the deal. This is kind of the weird time, Labor Day coming up.
Yeah.
That's allegedly the end of summer, you know, for an awful lot of people. People stop out winterizing their boats about that time of year and that kind of thing. And so the party's over, but yet it isn't. You know, the fall pattern for fishing is probably your favorite.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And the further we get into the fall, the more I like it. Mm-hmm. If I had to pick one month out of the year to fish, I think it'd probably be November. October would be a close second, but it starts letting loose in September too. I mean, it just depends on what the weather does, but
sure.
Yeah, you know, these days are getting shorter. I look out there now, there's just no light out there. And, as the days get shorter and the water cools down, those fish really put the feed bag on, and they don't seem to be quite as affected by fronts and thunderstorms like they do other times of the year.
They're actually more aggressive, don't you think?
I think so, and they move up a little shallower, so it's easier to make contact with them. And so all in all, and there's not near as much traffic out on the water, so there's a lot to love about fishing in the fall.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing. You know, I've got an awful lot of guys that are just eat, sleep, and drink fishing. And boy, when it comes about Labor Day, they're done. And I tried to explain to them, I said, the best crappie fishing that I've ever had in my life, as far as quality and quantity, was when the deer rifles were going off
Absolutely.
In the background at Truman Reservoir.
Yep. I mean, I can't tell you. Every year, I mean, just like clockwork, you can bank on those fish. On Lake of the Ozarks, it's a pattern that we do. And it's, again, during the deer season, you hear the rifles going off all day. And I put a bobber on top of a jig about a foot deep. And anywhere that there is a lay down, any kind of wood, any kind of brush.
There'll be a fish on.
Yep. And a foot deep.
Yep. Yeah.
And big, they're getting, you know, they're, yeah. The females are starting to develop their eggs.
Uh-huh.
And so they're bellied out. They're feeding very aggressively. And the water's cold. The meat's firm. I tell you, you talk about a good eating meal.
You know, and you're talking about it being a foot underneath the bobber, but yet I've caught them 3 foot under the bobber. Right? You know, they're just aggressive.
Yep. Right.
And depends on what slope you're fishing off the bank or the bluff.
And water.
And
color.
Water. Yeah, and in the morning it's a little bit different, you know, where the sun hits, you know. And I'm telling you, it just amazes me, the people that don't fish in November.
The murkier the water, the shallower they're going to be, the clearer, the deeper they're going to be. But, I know, and you know, pretty much got the lake to yourself that time of year.
I got some buddies that have been fishing Truman all last week, and they, I'm sorry to say, they had a death in the family. So they had to quit, and they went to the funeral, and they're at the funeral, I think, today. But they didn't want to. They said it's the best they've ever seen it on Truman.
And I'm just hearing that so much. I hear the crappie fishing is just stupid easy.
It's what they said.
I had talked to Richard Bowling, and he said it seems like the midway point of the lake on up toward the dam seems to be better than the upper end. But there's still fish to be had just about anywhere. But the magic depth seems to be around 8 to 12 feet deep, any flat, any main lake flat, any brush around there. And you can graph and find brush piles and fish them stuff that's not visible, but there's a lot of visible stuff that you can fish as well. In fact, we're going to have
Shane? No? Who?
I just brain farted.
That's better than doing the real one.
Yeah, you know, at this age, you never trust. Never trust.
Who are we having? Any ideas? Are you had a stroke?
Steve Blake.
Oh my gosh.
He's a guy down on Truman.
Mark.
And we did a television show. Do you remember back? We did a television show with Steve. But he specializes. He likes to fish for hybrids and white bass. And so
nothing wrong with that.
Now, he does fish for crappie as well, but... So we're going to find out the scoop, the skinny on what's going on with the hybrids and the white bass.
Now, these guys are telling me they were catching an awful lot of fish just by going into river channels. And, of course, they're just trolling a crankbait, which I don't like doing that, but that's beside the point. They're putting fish in the boat. I'm not. But they said they were down 18 feet, 20 feet, 25 feet, but they said it was quality fish.
Now, what were they catching?
Hybrids.
Okay.
Mainly.
And that's about what Steve said. He said they're more like 20, 25 feet.
Yeah. And I guess the thermal climb, maybe, I don't know what's going on there, but they're printing out at about 20, 25 feet.
That's exactly the depth Steve said.
So, you know, and their quality, you know, they're not just a sliced bread deals, you know, they're 6 pounds, 7 pounds, eight pounds.
And Steve said they're not stocking as many. I'll see if when we get them on, if we can find out why that is, but. Not stocking as many, but the ones that are there are big, quality fish.
Don't those fisheries biologists listen to you? Could you make them do something?
Unlikely.
Unlikely?
I got a little bone to pick with them, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really? Uh-oh.
My niece went down to Taneycomo last weekend, and she has three girls. One's three, or four. One's four, and then she's got a 9 and a 10-year-old. And they went up to the Bass Pro Shop out in Independence, and they were going to get a fishing license for her and her husband. And they said, well, if you're going trout fishing, those kids need stamps too. And now that I didn't know that that was true. I know anybody under the age of 16 or 15 does not need a fishing license. So why do you need a trout stamp? And I got on the Missouri Conservation's website, and I appreciate a lot of the things that they do. But that website, I could not find... I couldn't find anything on there that said anything about...
I hear it every week.
Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, it was so frustrating. I couldn't find anything about anybody that fishes needing a trout stamp. All I could find was, you know, kids under 15 don't need one. But why would kids, a three-year-old, why would they need a trout stamp?
That's silly.
It is.
It's silly.
I don't like that. That's, you know, charge me more. But those kids, they shouldn't have to have a trout stamp.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, and I'm not the most computer literate person in the world, but I can hack. I can get in there and stumble around. Pretty soon I'll come up with something. But, you know, I get not a call a week, but every other week or so, I'll run into somebody and say, "Do you ever go to the MDC website?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm afraid so." You just can't make it work.
I mean, I couldn't. I'm very frustrating. Yeah. That should be something that is pretty easy to find.
Oh, yeah.
Does a kid need a transtab? Does everybody need that?
I think you should be able to just Google that on their little deal there.
I know.
What is the age for transtab? And I mean,
it shouldn't be
simple things like that. And it's just like last week I was on there before we started showing. I was looking for the dove fields. You know, they mark them out every time for dove season coming up. And you had to go here to here to here to here to here to find. And then it was just silly. I mean, why don't you just put in there dove fields, baited areas, you know, type thing?
Well, I just got frustrated, gave up, and called my buddy that works for the MDC and asked him. And he thought that was the case, but wasn't 100% sure himself.
Yeah. It's just amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, that's the whole thing about the deal.
I know.
You know, so some good news, though. I've been harking on the plains of Northwest Missouri a little bit, not nearly enough. I've actually put in a few hours this week. But I saw some teal.
Oh, really? That's good news.
Of course, those teal will be in Costa Rica when the season opens.
Right.
They will. And so then
there's
one series of teal that goes through that never get shot at.
And they always come in early?
Yeah, they come in early, and they end up down in Costa Rica. And that's where they head down
through
there. Yeah, they get that far away from us. But it's a sign. A lot of pelicans come through. We caught 3.9 inches of rain.
Oh, wow.
And it vaporized overnight. It was absolutely, within 48 hours, it was dry again. You could walk down the corn rows and not have your feet muddy.
Oh, wow. I
took a yardstick out over the middle of cornfield, and I went down 30 inches in a crack.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was 2 inches wide.
Wow.
And I thought, my goodness. And so we were testing the pump, you know, make sure everything's okay for the season, changed oil, got it all greased up and all that kind of stuff. And I turned the thing on, let it run for a little bit. Water just went away. If you're standing there, you can't believe what you're seeing.
That's not good.
And it's not all over, but northern Missouri is just absolutely suicidal if you're a farmer. I mean, it's crazy. Mm. I've never seen the pond behind my house, I'm going to tell you, is 12 foot low.
Dang.
Some of the pond, the wells the guy's been using have been dry since 1957.
And they're dry now?
They're dry now. They're out of water. And the farmer's hauling water and hay out to the cattle. Well, there goes your profit, if there was any profit. You know, I'm going to tell you, this is for the northern zone of Missouri, and probably parts of Kansas and Nebraska. And we got pretty good range, but man, I'm telling you, it's hurting.
We finally got some this week here, but it's been bad around here. I mean, the lawns are taking it on the chin.
Yeah.
It's going to be good for the seed business this year, but, you know, and I think a lot of people are going to put some seed down that don't really need to. They're going to do it just because they haven't watered this summer. But your grass is pretty resilient. It's got about a 90-day drought tolerant.
Yeah, it'll work.
And I'm
patience.
Yes, and it may be spring before some of this grass comes back. Right. We don't get very much moisture this fall.
But we got to take a little bit of a break. We got Steve Blake.
Yes,
I knew you could remember the name. Well, you must be getting old.
I know it. I hate it.
We're brought to you by Highway Trailer Sales. My good friend Terry Lee. He is located out here on 1850 Southern Road. Out there kind of toward Worlds of Fun off 435, one of the finest humans that you will ever meet in your entire life. For you farmers that are listening and you guys got them 18-wheelers and you're pulling around those trailers, if they're broke, leaf springs, bearings, brakes, wiring, whatever you need done, this is the guy. Highway Trailer Sales Incorporated. This is probably one of the nicest people I've met now in the last 2 to 3 years. I just think the world of him. In fact, I told Terry, he was talking about being a sponsor, and I said, why? He said, well, I'll sign such and such kind. I said, I don't want you to sign a contract. I want to do it on a handshake. Fire me when you want to. And that's just the way we've been doing business here. He's a wonderful, wonderful person, and that's the way he'll treat you. We got 10 service bays out there. They'll get you out. They're real serious humans. So if you need that truck, get it ready for the harvest. There is one bushel of corn left up in Holt County. Better get that. But again, it's located 1850 Southern Road, Kansas City, Missouri. A phone number consists of an 816 area code. And, of course, it's 483-3676. 483-3676. Tell my buddy Terry and his secretary I said hey. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Midwest Outdoors. I almost called you, Mark, this week. I ran into a guy that had bought a new pickup at Reed Chevrolet. I mean, it was just bizarre how giddy he was. And he just said, and he didn't know me. Now, here's the whole deal. And we get to talking, and I saw it was new. And he said, yeah, I bought it up Reed. He said, that is just the finest vehicle I've ever had in my life. He said, I've never been so treated so much in my life. He said, did you know that they have non-commissioned salesmen? And I said, yes, I did. I did do that, you know. And then I told him who it was, and then they were a sponsor. He said, they gave me all the rebates. They gave me everything. He said, this has just been a great experience. He said, I always had animosity when I went in to buy a car.
Oh, I know. I hated it.
Hated it. And he said, it always felt like I was being shoved around, pushed around, and manipulated. He said, these were the nicest guys.
Isn't that funny? And he didn't even know you.
Didn't know me.
And what a testimonial.
Yeah. And I thought, golly. And I forgot what was like $14,500 rebate and some other rebate. And he said, I didn't even know it was existed.
Well, there's a lot of reasons that they sell more vehicles than anybody in the Midwest.
Unbelievable people.
And yeah, and the price, you know, that's got to come number one. But I'm telling you, the non-commissioned sales staff is just priceless. So much fun. They're so much fun. That's so much fun. Mark Jr., my son, he bought a truck from Reed, and I was with him. And it was just such a great experience.
Yeah. You hardly ever talk about the truck and the deals. You end up talking hunting and fishing.
Well, that's what we did for 2.5 hours.
And after this guy, I said, you know, you're doing my commercial that I do for him on the radio. And he said, well, I don't know anything about that, but he never listened to us. But we got those three listeners. But he was just giddy. And boy, it was pretty. I will give you, that's one of them high country crew cab, kind of a burgundy in color, chrome everywhere, and leather interior. But man, and he said, what a deal.
Huh, cool.
And I said, well, I said, if you can get up on Saturday morning at 6 o'clock, he said, I can't. And I said, okay.
Well, you can always find us on podcast.
Yeah.
The shows are archived on Sports Radio's 810's website. Yeah. And if you go to podcasts and alternative programs, you can pick up the show anytime.
Yeah. Or you can go to, can't get it off Facebook.
Okay, no, but I got to tell you something about Facebook. Uh-huh. And we've got a joke that is posted up there. It has Mark's dumb joke approval.
Mm.
You've got it, folks. You've got to go to our website.
Dumb joke approval.
You will laugh. You will laugh at this guy. It is so funny. I'm going to tell you the joke. Okay. It's not funny. I'm going to warn you right now. This is not a funny joke. But this guy that tells it, he is so tickled. It is so stupid. He just can't tell the joke because it's so stupid. He's just cracking up. It's an older guy. Go to our Facebook page. It's Midwest Outdoors Sports Radio 810 WHB. And watch this guy tell this joke. Okay, here's the joke. Bear goes into a restaurant and he orders a grilled cheese sandwich. And the waiter says, why the big pause? I'm a bear. That's a pretty blank spell. Okay, but I told you it was stupid, okay?
All right.
But go to our Facebook page.
That might be beyond stupid.
Yeah, I know. But this guy telling it.
That does make a valid point.
You got to watch this guy. He is so funny telling this joke.
Okay, here's two quail hunters walking down the fence row, and they come up on a whale. They look down in the well, and the guy says, I wonder how deep it is. He said, I don't know. Get a rock. So the guy picks a rock up and he throws it in the well. He doesn't hear it hit. He said, get a bigger rock. So he gets a great big rock and he throws it in the well. And they stand, they listen. They don't hear it hit. He says, wow, this is weird. He said, get something bigger. So the guy goes over and gets a railroad tie, puts it on his shoulder, walks over to the well and throws it down in there. And about this time, this black and white goat runs by him and jumps down in the well. They just can't believe what they're seeing. About the time the farmer comes walking up over the hill, and he said, I'm looking for my black and white goat. He said, you aren't going to believe this. he ran by us and jumped in the well. He said, oh, no, that couldn't be him. He said he was tied to a railroad tie. Oh, I thought that was better than the bear joke.
I warned you the bear joke was going to be bad.
That was really bad.
It was. But the guy telling it, again, got to go to our Facebook page and watch that guy tell it. It will make you laugh.
I'm going to have to go do that.
This guy, he's crying. He just can't tell the joke. And that's how stupid is that joke?
Is he relation to Thompson?
It might be. Yeah.
That's a hay.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Got some addicted people going to Guy Park. Got another report and another report and another. We do have three listeners. All three of them just showed up at Guy Park.
Catching bluegill.
Big bluegill. Hybrid bluegill.
Oh, I love that.
Caught a fish that they, or hooked up a fish, probably a bass, that they didn't turn. But, boy, right here in our backyard, nobody's there. Go up there, got a pretty dock. Clear water.
Where is that again?
Platte City. Just north of Platte City, just off I-29 up there. Worth a drive up there.
Huh.
It's a cool little place. Ain't very big. But, boy, there's nobody there. You want to catch big fish. Through the week, too. Boy, Channel Cat.
If anybody knows a place that we can catch some big bluegill, give us a call.
That would be a good
913-381-810-810.
Yeah. You think we can anybody up listening this hour in the morning? Kelly's called. He was in the shower when I called him, but he's called, Kelly Kurtz.
Well, I know my wife is awake. My mom gets up and listens, my sister.
Some bad news. I'm hearing very bad, bad, bad for you deer hunters. This is not good. Northern Missouri, they're finding dead deer around.
Uh-oh. Well, this dry weather can't be good.
Found one at the corner of our property, a little buck, a little six-point. Wouldn't go mountain much anyway, but I'd like to see him alive. And Kyle Carroll, who's a retired agent over here, he has some dead deer around ponds. It is guys starting to shred and cut a little bit of corn, you know, because it's burned up. They're finding stuff around. I'm not liking what I'm hearing. Hmm. So that's spongiform encephalitis. Everybody calls it CWD, which is wrong. There's two diseases. One is spongiform, it's a midge fly, and the other is CWD, chronic wasting disease. But, boy, this is not looking good.
No, I was looking at the drought monitor, and there's some extreme conditions around. And, that's just not going to be good for the deer.
I did run into something odd. I was out scouting for my doves, as I always do. Always trying to find a little pocket where they're at, where it won't be much humans around. And I ran into a deer with a big white tag in its ear, a little doe.
Really?
Don't know what that was all about. And got a really good look at it. Had a pair of Zeiss binoculars, probably standing at 25 to 30 yards away. So I could see it, and it looked like about the size of a business card. Looked like it was, if I was going to bet, I'd say it was plastic. Now, I don't know whether that's an escapee or if that is something that they're doing a study on. It was right by Kansas, so I don't know what's going on, but there is some odd things going on in the deal. So, have you had any fishing reports below the dam at Truman?
No. Nope.
What do you think? Are they running water at all?
No. The lake is about a foot low. And
is it?
They're running off and on, but it's nothing very consistent. And without consistent flow, the fishing is erratic. We'll find out from Steve what he's heard. But I haven't heard much excitement. Now, Milford, I talked to Vic Ertley yesterday, and he said they are catching a bunch of hybrids out there. It's been kind of early and late, not much going on in the middle of the day, according to him. I just can't imagine this time of year you can't catch them in the middle of the day, but it can get a little uncomfortable, a little hot. But he said the early and late bite is just spectacular right now. So if you want to catch some good hybrids and a bunch of them, you got to get out there. Other than that, Chap Martin, our guide extraordinaire on the Kansas side, he says that the crappie are still biting good over there on the Kansas lakes, and it's just kind of from lake to lake. It seems like the magic number is 10 to 12 feet deep. He's catching some. He did find some a little shallower. I mean, as shallow as 6 feet on Melvern, but he went down to Elk City, and I guess just hammered the crappie, and there were hardly any boats out there, but it came up 6 foot in one day last week. They had a big heavy rain down there.
Wow. I saw it sail go down across there.
That put the kibosh to that.
Yeah.
But
I think they needed that, though, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We all do.
We all do. You know, regardless if it washes and all that stuff, we all need it. Fill up these wells and ponds back again a little bit all over the place. I know they went through a big cycle out there, what I call dead center of Kansas, maybe toward the east side. It was extreme drought. You know, it's something. I wonder about Cheyenne Bottom.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to have any water at all.
They're going to have any water over there or not. That's going to be interesting. Allegedly, now we're supposed to go into a pattern of a little bit more moisture. But I'm from Missouri, and you got to show me.
It's just uncanny how every one of these storms comes to us, and it either splits and goes around us, or it just dies as it gets here.
Exactly.
But we did get a good couple of good rains this week.
I got to get to my commercial. And these are my favorite commercial I do, other than Reed Chevrolet. And then you got the Dodge dealership. I forgot to mention that Trevin and his family have acquired a Dodge dealer in St. Joe, too.
Oh, wow.
So if you have a Dodge or a Chevrolet, that is the people, non-commissioned salespeople, go up there and see them. We're brought to you by King City Lumber Company. Every Saturday we talk about a shed for Mark's horsey. And Mark has not bought the horsey yet, so he just uses his neighbor and pretends it's his. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You ever give sugar to that horsey?
No, but give him carrots.
Do you?
They like
Does
carrots.
That horse like you?
Yes, very much.
Your Shank think he does?
Well, he likes the food.
Does he?
Mm-hmm. He needs a horsey shed.
All by himself?
No, there's two.
There's two of them?
Yep.
Do you know the names of these horses?
No.
Do you care about the names of these horses?
No.
Do you care about anybody in the road alive?
Yes.
Have you ever seen the bubbles rise through a placid pool, and as they reach the top, they have no substance?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just thought I don't know why I said that. It just came out. It just seems sometimes you do these radio shows, just things come out, and then you apologize later.
You've lost your mind.
Oh, I did that years ago. 1969. That's when that one was. Hallucinogenic stuff, I think. Brought to you by King City Lumber Company. If you need a shed for your horsey, a loafing shed. If you need a barn out back to put your tractor in. If you need a garage built behind your house, an outbuilding. These are first-rate, good humans, first-rate lumber, master carpenters. They design it, build it, you approve it, and if you're not happy, they're not happy. I've been around umpteen buildings now that King City Lumber Company has built. They still look like they're new after 20 years. That's how good they do. King City Lumber, 660-535-4337, or go to kingcitylumber.com. I bet you're on there for 20 minutes looking at some of the stuff they built. They are amazing people. Tell you what, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We got to take a little break. Steve Blake's going to be our guest. Ought to make a good show. Grab you a second cup of coffee. Put your feet up, and we'll be right back with you.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm Mark Tobin, along with Waterfowler Hall of Famer Mr. Fred Ramsey. And we were talking a little bit ago about, you know, Labor Day coming up, and people are going to be putting their boats away.
Isn't that weird?
I know.
It is.
I never put mine away, period. But there are a lot of people that do. And if you don't want to go to the hassle of winterizing your boat, take it out to my buddies over there at Sportsman's Outfitter Marine out in Belton. You know, if your boat is sat in the water any time at all, you get algae and stuff growing on it. And it's just such a pain to get that stuff off of there. But let them do it. They've got the chemicals, and they can make a lot easier job out of it than you do. If you got any repairs that you need done, if you have not had any done, rest assured you will. That's why they call it a boat. Both bust out another thousand.
Exactly.
Doesn't have to be that way over there at Sportsman's, though. But if you've got any problems, nobody better in town to take your boat to have it fixed. Sportsman's Outfitter Marine out in Belton, last Belton exit off Cass Road.
Did he get into the kayak business?
They do. Joe was in Canada last week, and they were going to start putting a push on as soon as he gets back. So I think he just got back. But, yeah, that seems we'll see if I can get him on, and we'll find out the story.
A lot
on
of guys
that,
duck hunt out on public hunting grounds, you know, with kayak.
Oh, that's yeah. Well, there's a lot more people that are fishing out of kayaks.
Yeah,
now,
they are. And they're cool.
Yeah, these little state and county lakes in Kansas, and there's a lot in Missouri. A great way to fish.
Except for when the wind's blowing, but that's like
true.
Any boat.
Yeah.
You know, if you get a pontoon boat out there and the wind's howling, it takes the fun out of it. You know, you just battle it.
But I know.
Them coyotes, that's a fast-growing industry.
Yeah, and there's a lot of clubs now and tournaments that are being held for kayaks.
I watched a special on Outdoor Channel tonight where they had the kayak championship.
Really?
Yeah. And these guys came from New York and California and Florida and Texas, and they fished somewhere and showed the winner and the previous winner from the year before. I was amazed at the total amount of people that participated in this thing.
Yeah.
And you had to win a regional or something, you know, and come. I don't know what was there, but there was an awful lot of them. It's a cool little deal. It's a fast-growing industry.
Yeah, if anybody out there thinks they might like to get into that, go out and talk to the guys out there at Sportsman's Outfitter and
get you
a kayak.
I guarantee you one thing, he'll beat the socks off price. Off
oh, I know. It. Yeah, absolutely.
Just the way he does business.
That's
out
right.
there. I sure like Joe.
Yeah.
I wish he'd come by every once in a while.
Yeah, he's just so busy. But and it's, you know, so early to get up and come down here. Who wants to do that?
Yeah, he don't want to do that. He'd come down and meet our three listeners.
Well, joining us on the phone right now, a dear old friend, professional guide on Truman Lake, Steve Blake. Steve, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Mark, how are you doing this morning?
Great. I'm awake anyway. I barely made it in here. I made it here with about 10 seconds to spare.
I've been up since 4 o'clock. I'm going on a little catfish jugging excursion this morning with an old acquaintance of yours, John Wiseman.
Is that? Oh my gosh, I have not talked to him in ages. Well, tell
you
him I said
used
hi.
To fish against each other in the crappie tournament.
That's right. Yeah. That's well. Wow. That's awesome. Well, what are you doing? Jug fishing. Is the catfish bite pretty good?
This is the first time I've ever been in my life.
Is that right? Really?
John and Sandy were going this morning. I said, I want to go. I want to see what this is all about.
Well, now, answer me this. Why in the world did you ever want to become a guide?
So I could do what I love to do every day.
That's all about to.
How did you get started fishing? Where did that the passion for it come
from? My grandfather, way back in the day, I can remember my first fish sitting on a log over the top of Big Creek up in Wentzville, Missouri, and caught a little sun perch and lifted it up there and it landed in my lap, and I thought that was the neatest thing in the world.
Is that right?
My granddad got me started, and then it was pond fishing and then the bass clubs, and then moved up to Truman 35 years ago and been guiding full-time ever since.
Wow, that's awesome. I can't believe you remember that one little fish.
It's all it takes.
I do.
You're addicted.
Mine, I caught a fish out of a pond. We had some ponds real close to our house. And, well, I say it was real close. This was about a two-mile bike ride to this one pond. And I caught, it must have been about a six-pound channel cat. But I left my bike there, and I bear hugged this fish, and I ran all the way home. It was like a little mummy by the time I got home. Had to have my dad drive me back over to get my bike, but it got me hooked, so to speak. Yep. Well, how's the fishing on Truman right now? You like to, or do you guide for white bass and hybrids?
I do. And right now, the two best bites going are the catfish. They're just hammering catfish in that below the slot, very few above the slot and some in, but the 3 to 6, 7 pound fish, blues, they're just hammering them on cut shad, drifting the flats anywhere from 8 to 15, 20 feet of water. Seems like you get down below 15, 18 feet, there's not much oxygen right now, but I mean, just limits are really, really nice blues. Crappie fishing stupid easy right now. I haven't had a trip in 6 weeks that we haven't limited out in 3 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Three people.
That's awesome.
The white bass and hybrids are really slow. Back when we had the lake up 710, 712, they were running water consistently. We had some really good white bass and hybrid fishing. And now that we've been in this drought for, a month and a half, the last 6 weeks, that hybrid and white bass fishing just keeps going downhill. And what it is, there's no current generation in the lake at all. And when they do run water, they only run it for 2 or 3 hours. And these fish have gone out and suspended down 10 to 15 feet deep in 40, 50, 60 feet of water with the shad. And they're constantly on the move. There's no current there to stage them up on the humps and the brake lines.
That makes it tough to make contact.
Trying to follow them around, chasing them shad. Now, I'm not saying we're not catching some, but it's very, very inconsistent right now. The guys that are using live bait are catching them, but not on a consistent basis. You might have one good day and four that you don't get a bite.
Wow. Is there any surface activity going on?
There is a little bit on the cloudy days, early in the morning, late in the evening. There are some whites and small hybrids coming up by the thousands. I mean, I've had a couple of days where we've literally had whites coming up as far as we could see. You could throw in any direction. and 100 fish mornings, but it's not consistent whatsoever. We had an excellent, excellent hatch this year. I was up in Little Tebow the other day, came around the Rock Point there where you can see the bridge on T Highway.
Right.
And from there to the bridge, which is almost a mile, the new hatch fry pods on top of the water just, I mean, they were solid. Looked like you could walk on them.
So good gosh.
That's
good.
What these whites are surfacing on now when they do come up.
Wow.
Good.
And you were saying that there was as much as like 10-acre areas of fish that would explode?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not consistent. You got to get out there every morning and look, and they're never in the same place.
Wow.
Now the bright side of that is, since they're not consistent right now and nobody's really, really catching them, once that water temperature cools down to that mid-70, 70-degree range, and they start moving shallow, there's been no pressure on them, we are going to have one heck of a fall for catching white bass and hybrids on top waters.
Well, that's how I was just going to ask you that very question. And so where will you look for white bass when that starts to happen?
Just the shallow, flat main lake points with the wind blowing in. And I mean, it's at that time of the year with the population we've got right now. When these fish were schooling, we were catching fish anywhere from a quarter of a pound to 2 pounds, like five different year classes.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, no.
So we've got one heck of a healthy population. And in the fall, when they start going up shallow to feed, get on a rocky shoreline with, you know, several points, put the trolling motor down, throw a pop R, a small pop R, or an inline spinner like a rooster tail or a MEPS or one of those, and you're going to catch fish.
Oh.
I tell people at that time of the year, if we can't catch 50 fish apiece a day, we've had a slow day.
Oh, my gosh. I hate it.
And it'll be
happens.
A mixture of whites and hybrids, an occasional largemouth, even an occasional walleye.
Whoa.
That doesn't get much better than that.
You know,
no, it's fun.
Steve, we were having this big conversation, a bunch of buddy of mine. Truman amazes me. I don't know when was Truman built, Mark? Do you remember?
Was that in the 70s?
They closed the floodgates October 1st of 1979.
And this lake has performed and performed and performed. A lot of timber has fallen in. You know, it's not the same look as it used to be in a lot of places. But, you know, I guess I don't know what I thought it would do. I suppose I thought it would cycle and go down, and that would be the end of the conversation. But it's never done. I mean, yeah, there's been some off years, but as a rule, this lake is phenomenal.
Do you know about
it? It amazes me that we can consistently catch limits of fish at any given time of the year if the water conditions are not totally messed up, like when we get a 4-foot rise overnight or something.
Right.
It's unbelievable. Like I say, we've been catching, I've been having to take 10 to 12 dozen minnows to catch 45 crappie.
Wow.
And it's because we've got so many different year classes, and I don't keep anything under 10 inches. Wow. And we've got so many different year classes of fish right now. You'll sit in one spot right now. If you find the right piece of cover, brush pile, or old stump row that's cut off about 2 foot high, you can sit there and literally catch a limit and never move the boat.
Isn't that something?
But you'll weed through 80 fish or 100 fish to do it.
Well, and that's good news. I mean, that's good news to me. That means the fishing ought to continue to be good for the next few years.
Years.
Yeah.
And seeing tons and tons more black crappie here on the lower end of the lake. About 50% of what you catch down here now are 10 to 12-inch black crappie.
Really?
Inch and a half wide across the back.
You ever catch a black-nosed crappie or a magnolia crappie?
I have caught probably in the last 2 years, 25 or 30 of them.
Oh, that meant, really? Wow. Have you ever seen
that big black stripe down the middle
of
your body?
Pretty fish.
Yeah.
They're pretty fish.
Odd-looking little fish.
And I've heard different explanations. Some people say they're a hybrid between the black and the white. They're a species under their own. I really don't know what they are, but they are a beautiful fish.
Yeah, very different.
That's cool.
We did, when Fred and I were doing the American Outdoorsman television show, we did a television show with you on Truman Lake, and you were the first person that explained to me what the weir is. For people that might not know what the weir is, could you explain that?
It is a man-made red clay and riprap rock wall that they built across in front of the dam. And at normal pool, it's 10 to 12 feet deep on top of it. Right in front of the gates, it's about a boat width wide. It's a big flat on either side with a drop-off from 10 to 12 feet into 40-some feet of water. The purpose of it is so that when they run water, it brings the warmer surface water and the colder water down below up and mixes it so that when it goes into the river, it's not like Table Rock or some of the other lakes where it's putting 50-degree water into the river. It mixes the water temperature so it doesn't shock the fishery below and kill the native species.
Brilliant. I mean, it's what a great fish-catching piece of structure that is.
Oh,
I mean,
if they're running water on a consistent basis in the summertime or early spring or the fall, you can sit on that weir with a spoon. Well, you and I, the day we shot that film, caught 9 different species of fish.
That's right.
And laughed about having one of the most odd doubles anyone's ever had. We had about a 2-pound Kentucky bass and a buffalo in one consecutive catch.
I can't believe you still remember that.
Something wrong with catching a buffalo? They fight.
Oh, I know, yeah.
I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday.
Yeah. So,
we caught 9 different species of fish that day.
Wow. That's an amazing lake. Again, you go back to the Truman. The lake is amazing.
Well, and the weir. If they're running water, like Steve said.
And, you know, if they're not running water, the weir gets little doldrums, but you can go out on that flat.
True.
You know, not too far away, within a quarter, half mile, and you're going to be back in some fish if you do something right, you know, on the deal.
A lot of times when they're not running water, those fish will just back off in about 40 foot suspend.
Yeah.
But it's been really, really tough this year with the great shad population we've got this last month or so. It's really been tough, but that's just going to speak well for this fall. We're going to have some of the best white bass and hybrid fishing this lake's ever seen this fall.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds so wonderful. You were talking
and
about
that. That'll start about the 1st of October and run till we get 3 or 4 hard freezes and the temperature drops below 50, water temperature drops below 50.
Oh, I'm telling you, folks, if you want to have some fun, you go hire Steve to take you out and do that. That is just really one of my favorite things. So those fish are up shallow. They're aggressive. They're not that hard to catch. Finding them is the most difficult thing. But when you find them, I mean, they bite on so many different kinds of things. And if you can use a little popper or something like that,
oh boy,
a little surface.
That top water action.
Yeah. Oh.
And sometimes they're so shallow, Mark, they'll hit that top water and go to dive, and their tail will pop up.
Oh,
that's fun. It's a hoot.
Oh, a little Zara puppy, any of those kind of things. Yeah, yeah.
I had a little 7-year-old girl a few years back, a friend of mine's daughter. I'd taken him and his wife and his 2 little girls out on a trip, and she hooked about an 8-pound hybrid.
Oh, my God.
And she fought, and she reeled, and she fought, and she reeled, and she looked up at me and said, "Mr. Blake, this stupid fish won't come in."
Oh, that's so good. That's great.
And she was right.
Well, when it comes to the fishing seasons, rate them 1 to 4, your favorite time of year to fish to your least favorite time of fish.
He wants to fish all the time.
Number one, I would say, is the crappie spawn and the bass spawn.
Really?
Our bass populations are down in recent years, but that would be number one for me. Number two would be when the walleye run in March down in the river below the dam, and then in late May and June up here on the lake. Number three, white bass and hybrids any time of the year. I love catching those hybrids. I mean,
you get
a 10-pound hybrid on, it's like hooking into a Ford pickup.
Nothing like it. There is nothing like it. Well, I love...
But, you know, what people don't understand is, you know, in most other lakes come midsummer or midwinter, when everything turns off and fishing's really tough. Midsummer here on Truman, I mean, we can literally catch 100 fish in a morning for crappie.
Wow.
And the same thing in the wintertime. You and I have been winter fishing on this lake. It's unbelievable.
I know.
Like getting big schools on these bluffs.
Yep, right.
And
it's not like that down below. On Lake of the Ozarks, you can't do that down there. And I don't understand why.
I don't
what
either.
The difference is.
It's a world of difference.
Well, and there's not very many lakes you can go and do what you can do on Truman in the summer.
I go back to Truman is the best-kept secret in America. I mean, it's the most consistent, greatest fishing reservoir in the Midwest.
Year-round. Right.
And the one thing I would tell anglers that come down here for crappie in the summertime, fish minnows.
Yeah, okay.
In the colder water, fish jigs. That's the number one thing I could say to guys. I mean, in the summer, a lot of guys will disagree with this, but I've been doing it 35 years, a couple hundred days a year. You're going to catch way more fish and get them to hang on better with minnow. Whereas in the winter, that jig is the only way to fly. They hammer it.
Now, you're fishing minnows now. Is it just minnows on a bare hook, or are you tipping a jig? How do you rig that?
What I'm fishing is a 3/8 ounce specially built split shot, real heavy split shot that a gentleman here by the name of Bob Bates makes. And we're fishing at 3 inches above a number 2 gold Aberdeen hook, and that's it. And what we're doing is going out on the flats in anywhere from 10 to 15 feet of water and finding old stump rows and roadbed ditches that the stumps have been cut off about 2 foot high, or a lot of the brush piles I have built and other people have built and the Conservation Commission has put in. And you drop that minnow to the top of the cover just above it, and if you get on the right one, you're going to have a blast.
Now, you have any problems?
The reason for that great big split shot is if you get hung up, if you don't yank and jerk and bend your rod and bury the hook, you can simply drop down till you get a little slack in the line and shake and put that weight below that hook. I had a trip with an elderly gentleman and his son the other day. We had 100 crappie in 3 hours, kept our 45 limit of 10 to 12 inch fish, and never lost a hook. And we were snagged up several times, but you just, as long as you don't really force it, just drop that weight below that hook and shake it, and you pop it right out.
Well, that answered my question. I was going to ask whether or not you had any problem without having a weed guard or anything on there. So that
No.
Yeah. How do they get a hold of you? How do they book a trip with you, Steve?
660-525-0692, my cell phone. I always have it with me. Wow. Or they can go to my email, which is stevebguide@embarkmail.com.
Say that again.
But I prefer a phone call. Okay. I like to deal with people voice to voice.
660-525-0692. We will put that up on our Facebook page also. But let me ask
all
you
right.
this before I let you go. Single pole or spider rigging?
I am 100% single pole fisherman.
Good.
I'm either dipping the trees on the flats with a 12-footer and doing what we call dipping, or I'm fishing a 9-foot Crappie Max super sensitive rod that I actually helped develop for Bass Pro with Doug Johnson over brush.
Wow.
I'm just not into spider rigging. I want to feel the thump and fight the fish.
Couldn't agree more.
Couldn't agree more. Why are you out there for?
Yeah.
And I've got nothing against spider rigging, just like I've got nothing against crossbow hunters or whatever. We're all here for the same thing. It's just not my thing.
Yeah.
You think it's having any adverse effect on the fishing?
You know, I would think that the pre-spawn fish are, you know, that's the prime time for spider rigging. These guys get in the guts of the creeks when these fish are staging the spawn and hammer them big females. But, you know, it's been going on for how many years now, and we still got a population of fish that's unbelievable on this lake. And, and it's still taking, you know, 1.5 to 2 pound average fish to win tournaments. Granted, most of those come from the very upper ends of the lake, whereas down here on the lower end, it's 10 to 12 inch fish in better numbers. But I've really seen no diverse effect that I can see.
Well, Steve, thank you for joining us here on air. We got to let you go. We're out of radio time, but you're a fantastic human, a tremendous guide. Again, his telephone number consists of a 660-525-0692. Give him a call if you want to book for Steve, and maybe you want to take your kids fishing. This is the guy you need to hang out with. So thank you.
I live for taking kids fishing.
Yeah,
I love to take the little ones out.
Awesome.
I'll bet.
Steve, you're a good man. So good to visit with you again.
Steve, thank you.
Good to hear from you too, Mark.
Right.
I'm off on my catfish excursion.
Good luck.
All right, good luck, kiddo. All right, talk to you later. What a nice guy.
Yeah, he's great. Great guide.
660-525-0692.
Oh, and take him up. Go book a trip this fall.
Hey,
when those fish get up on the bank, I'm telling
before
you.
Before we get out of here, I've got a buddy that's looking for a Llewellyn setter. If anybody's out there that knows one for sale or like get rid of one to a good home or whatever, give me a call here. It's 913-3810-810. I'll hang around the studio here for a little bit. I'd love to get this guy a dog. He needs it.
What kind of dog?
A Llewellyn. The cucklebar catchers, I call them. But they're wonderful dogs. They handle good. And he's had a good Llewellyn that died, and he's never wanted anything else. And I'm trying to help him out up here. So he listened to us out of Iowa. So,
well.
But hey. But anyway, if you want, if you got one out there, 913-3810-810, know where I can get one. I'd sure like to appreciate talk to you. So, tell you what, that wraps it up. Boy, he was a good guest.
Yeah, I'm going to go fishing. Boy, he got me fired up.
Yeah, it did. Got me fired up, too. So, what the heck?
10 acres of fish surfacing? Are you kidding
me? Yeah, let's go fishing. I tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Got to go for this week. The next time I see you, I hope I see you in a great outdoor.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.